If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we are talking about Pluribus, the new show created by Vince Gilligan and on Apple TV. I'm so excited to have a TV show that I'm looking forward to watching again. I'm Ryan. I'm here joined by Adam. And Adam, you're a huge fan of the Breaking Bad universe, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Vince Gilligan in general. What are your vibes coming into the Plurbs?
Oh, I was curious. I was intrigued. The trailers, in true fashion, gave us nothing, which I loved because as I'm watching the first episode, a lot of stuff started to make sense. So I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited about Vince Gilligan again. I love his writing style. I love the way they shoot these shows. Very excited about this. It's a weird, cool, quirky, strange concept, and I am here for it, man.
You know what, though? One thing, bad name, though.
Yeah, I was, as you said, we're going to be doing Pluribus in the beginning. I chuckled a little bit because I just hear Pluribus.
Plurbs.
Pluribus.
Yeah, I'm going to say Plurbs a lot because the word Pluribus is bad on the mouth and the ears. It's not a very good name. I understand it's like Latin for one of many, but for sure. I don't know, you could have gone with anything. Like, it could have been named anything, and Pluribus seems like the worst choice you could have made.
Well, you know, I like the way they did the title, where Pluribus, the I is a number one. You know, again, there's a lot of symbolism in this show. I'm gonna miss a bunch of it, 1,000,000%, but I'm excited to like find out little things in the way other things in the show connect to each other in the long term. Vince Gilligan is very good at that. I think he's a great storyteller. So far, the only thing that like puts this in the Breaking Bad universe is the location in Albuquerque and the airline, which I don't remember the name, but the airline is from Breaking Bad as well. I don't know if there was anything else. I don't remember. I didn't pick up on anything. I'm sure I'll see it on the internet as I look more into the show. But I don't think this is taking place in tandem with anything we've seen in Breaking Bad. I think this is completely different. It's just kind of in the same universe.
Okay, but why say it then?
Who knows,
like,
man?
Like, is the only reason you say it to get in front of the Breaking Bad fans and the Better Call Saul fans and be like, it's a little bit it's a little bit Breaking Bad adjacent, like it's a kind of in the same universe. Like, I don't know, if it's barely in the same universe, it feels really superf to have to say that. And now people are like, you know, the airline and the this.
Yeah.
Why not just make it completely separate? Why?
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've seen online says that it is not in the same universe. But if you have the same, like, airline name, you're in the same place, like, that's kind of assumed, right? I think it's going to be a standalone show. I don't think there's going to be any relation. There might be a couple of little homages here and there for the Breaking Bad fans, just kind of, like, keeping them happy with that, but I don't think there's going to be any crossover. I don't think there's going to be any shared elements. It's a completely different genre. So it's not like these aliens are gonna be cooking up meth, you know? So, I think we're going to be safe from that, but it's still kind of cool to see the little, you know, head nods to what a wonderful world of Breaking Bad.
What if they decided to break bad as a continuum, as a unit, as one for all? Be like, there should be a sect of us cooking, making crystal.
What if Carol is the one that says, you know what, I got to supply blue sky to the rest of humanity?
She gets the hive mind addicted to meth. That'd be sick.
That would be in insane, actually. God, I hope that's not real. God, I hope that it's not real.
Before we get further into it, guys, you can join us here every week covering every episode while we recap and review Pluribus. But we also have a Patreon that Adam's going to tell you about right now.
We do have a Patreon. It's at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You get every episode that we do early, ad-free. There are some exclusives peppered in there whenever we can do them. We also read all of the patrons' names out at the beginning or the end, somewhere in our episodes. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Jurassic World Afterbirth, I Miss James, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, Sea Fritz, and Pumpkin Season 4. And an extra special shout out to Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you and all of you who donate to this podcast we do. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I miss James too. Now, getting back into Pluribus.
Same, dude.
Before we get into, like, you know, what happened, my main, and it's not, I was about to say gripe. It's not even a gripe of the show. It's just like the scale is going to be such a large problem for me.
I know.
In this show. Like, I was watching Ender's Game, the movie, last week, and the beginning of that movie is just like 50 years ago. Aliens attacked the Earth. Tens of millions died. And it was right after I had watched Pluribus. I was like, tens of millions? Who even cares about tens of millions? 800 million people died when the hive mind took over in the Pluribus.
Yeah, that was surprising when they dropped that number. And then when Carol yelled and made them feel bad, another 11 million died. So, like... Yeah. I thought that 11 million was going to be the baseline, you know?
Right. What is that, by the way? That, like, you can hurt the hive mind's feeling? I get it. Like, the hive mind is driving a plane and you make them all freak out simultaneously and the plane falls out of the sky. But, like, at the same time, why is that a failsafe built into the hive mind where, like, maybe they grow out of that and they get stronger and they all don't freak out every time Rhea Sehorn, you know, screams in their face? It just feels like they entered it, and by they I mean like Vince Gilligan put it in the show to be like, well, we can't have her scream all the time.
Well, you know what, I think it could be one of those things where we're gonna learn. I don't, this is not gonna be a detail that just gets glossed over. I don't think that's too much stakes, but I think that it's only when she's telling the hive mind to go away, get off of me, do like, get away, stop, like, not just yelling at it but actively like ordering it to stop doing a thing. It like doesn't know how to process how to stop fast enough, you know? Yeah, because time she tells it to stop or go away, they do, it listens.
And whether it's purposeful or not, it does act as a deterrent slash like a punishment for being mean to it.
Yeah, right. Except on the other side of that, you now know you kill 11 million people.
Right. I guess you could take into this, like, the layers upon layers of talking about this show, because, like, those are 11 million people who you have to operate under the assumption that they can be taken back out of the hive mind and be independent once more, which we're 8 seconds into this show. We don't know if that's a possibility. Are they just all gone? So 11 million of them passing away for sure. And their bodies dying. Like, does that even matter?
No, I think it is. I think it's truly just like collateral damage. Like, think of everyone who's driving a car. Think of anyone who's in a plane. Think of anyone who's doing a task that if you immediately stopped doing it, you would be dead.
I know, but I'm saying, are we thinking that in the ends of the 4 seasons, which Vince Gilligan was like, this will probably go 4 seasons.
Whoa.
Do we think at the end of those 4 seasons, the people who didn't die because a lady yelled at them are going to just like snap out of it or be taken out of it in some way and gain independence once more? Is that the end game here? Because if that's the case, every time she yells at the hive mind and kills 11 million people, then that's awful. But we currently can't operate under the assumption that they're any going to be like taken out of the hive mind, turned independent once more, because we have no freaking way of knowing if that's even possible. And yeah. also, we met all the 11 people, apparently, other than Carol, who are not or were immune. And as long as more people don't become immune, like randomly, who are truly scientists, then, or like if there are more people immune that are buried under the somewhere and they are fine and they didn't get like sprayed upon by an airplane, then and are working on this somewhere, like fucking Terminator Skynet style, like trying to get it out of here. If that doesn't happen, then yell at everybody all you want, because they're already basically dead.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a very early start of a show that's going to have a ton of layers. Lots of layers. Ogres are like onions. They have layers.
And your so tongue was a huge part of all those words.
Yeah, it was weird. It felt weird, but it's fine.
Why did you hit the G with your ogres have layers?
Ogres.
Onions have layers.
Okay, enough of that. Anyway, what I was getting at was... the hive mind said, "Oh, Carol, we found another immune person that like, I don't know if they came to or they made themselves apparent. Like they had missed one. They alluded right. that they had missed one initially. So that's interesting. I think that's a little detail that'll probably pop up again."
Yeah, let's jump in and just talk about like basically what happened in the first two episodes very shortly. Because we are going to spend the next, you know, whatever amount of weeks just pontificating upon pontification about this show. There are just so many layers and so many weird things. You could talk about it forever. So in episode one, we meet Carol Sturka. She is played by Reese Seehorn, who was in Breaking Bad, but it doesn't seem as though she's
Better
playing,
Call Saul.
Yeah, you're right. Better Call Saul, but it doesn't seem as though she's playing the same character.
No, totally different. Totally different.
Is a best-selling author of a pirate romance novel series. She seems pretty cranky about it, that she's been sort of pigeonholed into writing what she thinks as mindless crap. And she goes back to Albuquerque and sees that the world is going straight up bonkers when she is sitting in a bar with her manager / secret lover. And... people around her are now convulsing, collapsing, and becoming weirdly, bizarrely, smiley, and in sync, as we now know, becoming the high mind, and her lover dies in front of her.
Yeah. This was the first question. So my cousin is very into these types of shows, so him and I were chit-chatting about this one, and that was a question I posed, like, how did her friend die? Actually die? When so many other people, the same thing happened, and one could say, oh, she fell backwards and hit her head. But she was alive the whole time in the truck, and she died when she got to the hospital, came to, saw Carol, smiled, and then died. Like, yeah. I want to know why she was different.
I mean, she wasn't different. She, along with 800 million other folks, died. And it seems as though it was a rejection of the virus, if you want to call it that.
The hive mind did say she loved it, almost that she succumbed to it and was fine.
No,
and
what they were talking about succumbing to it, they were talking about becoming part of the hive mind, even for that one moment, like being one, I think, is what they were commenting on. And by the way, Carol would say later, like, I don't listen to the heroin dealer talk to me about how good the heroin is.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Obviously. But I think they were saying, like, no. She loved being in the hive mind for that 1 second she was in there before her body completely shut down, rejected the virus, and died.
Of the 11 million people dying, it could also be that the body rejecting the process of becoming hive mind, not becoming hive mind, becoming hive mind.
Well, I mean, the 11 million people who died when Carol yelled at them, they seem to get overloaded and have seizure-like symptoms, which you can die from in real life
if your body
just shuts down. But, like, yeah, the 800 million people at the beginning, you know, 10% of the population of the Earth, it just felt to me like it was a rejection of a virus while the other 90% minus 11 or 12 people that we now know of were just fine with that virus, and they were totally chill. They came out of the convulsions and they were like, yay, we're hive mind. Yeah.
Yay, we're hive mind. But what I loved about the first episode was we didn't see Carol until maybe 25% way through. The whole beginning was this whole alien algorithm being, you know, pushed out in through the cosmos. And it's been happening for many years, and it's feeding them a recipe. And it's interesting to me that scientists just took this information and started creating a thing that aliens told us to make. Like, that part of this, I actually didn't adopt to. I was like, why would we take the information that we know nothing about? Like, it was elements arranged in some sort of recipe, essentially, to create what was sprayed eventually. But, like, why would you make that? I feel like that's just something you don't do. I don't know. That was a part I didn't particularly like.
I don't know. That really didn't hit me weird because, like you said, the first 20 minutes of the show is them finding the recipe that's being shot out into space. Definitely not just to Earth. Almost for sure just shot out in all directions by an alien species we might never meet. But it got here eventually, so... now we have it. We broke it down. We now know what it is. And then the human race started making it, or at least this one lab did, but I can't fathom a world where more labs didn't. And the reason I say that is because we were just given an alien race recipe. And the idea that people make it is absurd, crazy, dumb, honestly.
It's
but
weird.
Also the idea that we would completely ignore it and no one would do anything with it, I also think is unrealistic.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It just it seemed like not much time passed. Did they say how much?
Yeah,
time
I know they
passed?
Said exactly how much time passed.
How much time was it?
In fact, the show started saying like 430 days out, and then
oh, it was 400. Oh, that's what that was. That's right.
And then they fast forwarded to 80 or 70 days out of them all working on it. So it, you know, obviously been over a year, and then they were counting down to patient zero, who was that doctor who got bit by the rat or mouse that was pretending to be asleep, which was fucking cool.
Yeah, and that's nuts.
It is, but at the same time, they were being decently cautious. But they even said to the security guard, like, we've been working on this for months and we've gotten nowhere. Mm. It felt completely random that one mouse or rat got the actual thing right and was then like hive mindy enough to be attached to the aliens in some way where it was just like, I'm a pretend to slumber and then bite a lady. But
it's interesting.
Out.
It's interesting, this whole hive mind thing, because it's organic, right? Like, it's linking all of the human brains on Earth together, right? But there must be an outside influence also, right?
There must be. I said there was just now, but that's incorrect. It could just be linking all of the this one species together who is getting infected, if you want to call it that, by it. There might not be like a link back to a home world here. This might not be they don't have, like they said at the beginning of the show, they don't have satellite or communication systems the size of Africa, which is what would have had to happen to get this stuff out into space the way it was. So in fact, I saw some theories online, like, what if by season 2 or 3 a part of the hive mind breaks off and starts making a communication thing the size of Africa, would be pretty sick.
That would be nuts.
At the same time, and we'll get into the theory section, obviously, because we could just do that for hours. Mm. But we don't know if it's linked back anywhere or it's just joined everyone together.
Yeah, I want to know where the nucleus is. Like, who is the main controller of this whole thing? Because
is there a main controller?
Right, because they say, it's all of the humans can process and respond and understand at the same time in real time. But what was that first one? Was it only the nurse and the rat? Like, you know, that's what, like, how, where did the beginning come from? Because even in the show, they poked fun at it a little bit, which I also like about the show. It's kind of funny, but like they poke fun at the fact, like, oh, we don't know how it works. It just does.
Like, right. Yeah. They say that out loud. Obviously, like, they could have been looking at the camera through into the audience being like, yeah, we don't know, man. I don't know. We're a hive mind.
Just take it.
Anyway, the point is that Carol gets to the end of this episode and she is immune while everyone else is freaking out. Amazing scenes all throughout this. We can stop very quickly, slow down, and talk about the camera work in this show. It's incredible, man.
Yeah, and this doesn't look like any other Apple TV show. You know, I think of Ted Lasso, Shrinking. They're very sharp, very clear, very clean. This is not that. It still has that kind of gritty, like, Breaking Bad style cinematography, which I really love. I think that's becoming, I mean, it is Vince Gilligan's, like, you know, his timestamp, or not timestamp, you know what I'm
style.
Trying to say. Style arc, whatever it is.
Right. I mean, and also, like, they built a camera rig attached to a car that I saw in a behind the scenes video that was, like, the first of its kind.
I love
this
that.
Is the kind of thing where, like, Apple gave Vince Gilligan enough money to go out there and sort of not only story or narrative wise try to push fiction forward, but at the same time try to push forward the art of making a TV show at all. Where, by the way, we're in a landscape now where this is going to come out. Fallout is coming out. Severance is coming out. Like, we have been sold this idea that we're past the golden age of television and over the big technological hump of moving forward and making TV. But I don't think that's right. I think this is a fucking, like, it's a straight line that goes up and up and up. And this is a good example of, if you give talented people a bunch of money, they're going to continue making cooler stuff in cooler ways.
Oh, 1,000%. It's like any job or any corporation. If you pay up for talent, you'll always get a better product in the outcome. And I mean, it's for sure with technology and film, for sure.
I'm going to need a full slide deck on that by EOD Friday, if you could.
I'll circle back with you next week.
I'm not aligned. I need it by today.
All right, we'll land the plane later.
Thank God. Don't boil the ocean for me.
Now, another question I have is, do you think, because Apple TV, notoriously not well subscribed to, that this is also a ditch attempt to continue to get subscribership? I mean, the obvious answer is yes, but they have a ton of weird contracts going out there. A little break off for a second. They just signed exclusive streaming rights for F1 now.
That's
starting in 2026, so you can only watch the F1 races if you have Apple TV Plus, which is insane because it's become so popular in the United States and it's very popular worldwide. So that's interesting. And this show's coming out is different than any other sci-fi show that we've seen through Apple TV. It's kind of grounding it a little bit more in reality. I mean, every Apple TV show I've watched has been an absolute banger. Like, they are incredible at making it because they pay up. So I'm worried, or not worried, I'm wondering if they're going to push Pluribus to be their anchor show, because they already signed for season 2. It's already been greenlit.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. They're trying, they're throwing a lot of money at Apple TV, something, like you said, that doesn't have nearly as many subscribers as Netflix does. But at the same time, Apple is the fifth most profitable business on earth, only beaten out by Google and the Bank of China, Berkshire Hathaway, and the Saudi Arabian oil company. So I think they're gonna be okay. Like, they're gonna make it through this. And so as we enter episode 2, Carol is now trying to grapple with her immunity and what that means. She is then introduced to one of the quote-unquote others, who explains that this hive mind is non-violent but deadly at the same time. Like, you know, eventually telling her in a later scene that 800 million people died, as we've already covered. Now, the opening scene where the woman in a far-off land from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is helping clean up dead bodies and then gets cleaned, gets into an airplane that's gigantic, goes exactly how much far down a runway she can go before she runs into something, then takes off because she, again, has a hive mind. So every one of these hive mind people are a surgeon and a pilot and a finance bro and a chef and a everything. Every one of them can do every single thing any human has ever tried or will ever try again, probably in this instance. So it's like one competency porn because they're all amazing at everything, and watching them do things in a, like watching them make a decision all turn simultaneously. And then now with like the most efficiency, it's like watching ChatGPT run a society. It's gross, kind of a little weird, but at the same time, kind of cool. I don't know.
And spoiler alert, the ending of the show is this was all just ChatGPT.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan was just like, write me a show about you and change you to be like, have mind, you know.
I do love that they poke fun at that part of it as well. Carol's just like, to the lady's son, like, tell me exactly how to do this surgical procedure. And this like 10-year-old boy is just like, well, you would do this.
That made me feel so bad because his mother was completely delusional. And
1,000%.
And by the way, like, every right to be delusional in this scenario. Yeah, this is crazy town shit.
Yeah, I would too.
The version where your son is alive and you can look at him and just believe that's still him is a world that I assume would be as comfortable a world to live in this uncomfortable scenario. And then while Carol is just like, he's not your son, tell me how to use a scopola or whatever.
He is technically still her son, but he's also
every person on earth.
He's every person on earth. So like her son's in there.
talking about this, you know, Carol gets everybody together who are the immune survivors. And they meet up and talk about the hive mind, but they all have pretty different views on like how this is going, with Carol sort of being the only one who is currently freaking out. During this conversation is also when the hive mind makes it clear to Carol and the rest of them that they are nonviolent to a fault. Like, they let all the zoo animals out. They will not kill or hurt a fly. They will not kill a chicken. The chicken we're eating now, don't get used to it, because we're going to run out, unless you do it yourself, of chicken, because we don't kill anything. So like in this world where there are layers upon layers upon layers of all the things that Vince Gilligan thought about, like these are the main attributes of the hive mind, a non-violence to the nth degree is such a weird, interesting one that further complicates, like, you can't 100% call this, like, and we'll talk about it a little bit in the theory section, like, is this a dystopian nightmare? Is this a post-apocalyptic wasteland? It's like, they let the lions out, which is bad, but they did because they're not... They're not supposed to be captive. Like, this is complicated.
That is going to come back to us. It reminds me of like the day after tomorrow where the wolves got out in the city and then they got attacked by wolves randomly in Manhattan. Like, so that's gotta come back to them, right? Yeah. Like, we're going to see lions mauling people and the hive mind is going to be like, no, it's fine.
I hope it's like day after tomorrow where one of the wolves bites Jake Gyllenhaal in the beginning. He becomes the Wolf King.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That'd be great.
It's the best part. And then Dennis Quaid is just like, I bow down to you, Wolf King. And then everyone's just like, let's go back to our house and watch the plurbs.
That's exactly what happened. I remember it like it was yesterday.
By the end of Carol talking to the rest of the immune folks, she gets really mad again, which causes another probably 11 million people to die, including, but maybe not limited to, definitely not limited to, some of the folks sitting at that table are freaking out now. Like, and so people are further going to turn on Carol because they want to live in their delusion. And every time she yells at the hive mind, some of their delusion might fall over dead, just like Carol's Siggo did, which was generally sad. And she's still grieving like throughout all of this.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but what a wonderful power she has now. She knows she can do this whenever she wants. But now that poses the question, like, is the hive mind smart enough, which I would assume yes, to know when it's a legitimate attempt to pause the hive mind or an actual emotional response?
Yeah, no. It's not so much are they smart enough. Is it like, is it a thing that happens when a threshold is reached, or is there more to it? Like, if you yell at them loud enough, it doesn't matter what's happening. They're going to all freak out. Like, there is no input other than you reached 20 decibels. Now I'm
is it a volume input or an emotional weight input that we can't measure?
Okay, let's just dive in more so to, like, because this is going to be like 10 or 8 weeks. I don't know how many episodes this is.
Yeah.
I should look it up. But, like, okay. So, number one, what is the point of turning planets into the hive mind? Like, did the aliens who put this out into the world, are they like a really advanced race who is doing this to sort of stall civilizations? Because that's sort of what the hive mind has done. There is going to be no new, as of right now, we're living in a version of this where the hive mind is sort of now just stagnant. Like, the amount of knowledge the human race had sort of goes up to that moment where the hive mind occurs, and then it's over. There is no new art. There are no new movies. There are no new, like, we ain't going to Mars. I don't think the hive mind is like, we do space exploration, that we just carry on the space exploration that the humans were already doing, right? We continue being explorers. It doesn't feel that way, right?
No, oh no, definitely not. It's one of those things that the humans became smart enough to figure out the code we sent, and that's the farthest we want them to go.
Right, just it feels like a way for a advanced alien race to just stall out every other civilization that is, like you just said, smart enough to put this together, and so they can never be usurped by another planet ever.
Right, I think this is a very legitimate theory.
And then at the same time, you know, diving into the philosophy of it all, there are some people who I am sure watching this and thinking, like, oh man, that hive mind thing actually looks so cool. That would be better than having individuality at all. Like, look at the way we act now when we have individuality. And those utopian versions of hive mind folks, like, that must be the life, right? Versus the Carols of the world who are like, no, what are you talking about? This is awful. To never be an individual ever again, that is the antithesis of humanity, is her feeling on the subject. While other immune folks are like, I hope they figure out, by the way, the hive mind said it's going to take us a few months, but we will get there, figuring out how to get the 11 immune people into the hive mind, or kill them trying, probably. But, like, you know, there are a few immune folks who said, like, I can't wait to be a part of them. I want to be with my family again. Like, to them, it is a step into a proverbial heaven where they walk through the pearly gates and they see their grandparents again, kind of shit.
That's interesting. Yeah. This is a tough, like, side to I don't know which side I would rather be on in this situation, honestly, because individuality, obviously, very cool. We are doing that now.
Maybe overrated.
It's a little overrated. But also, like, to be able to say, like, okay, I'm going to live my life as me, but whenever I want in real time, I can tap the brains of every other person on Earth and get the answer or the solution that I want immediately. Not terrible either.
Yeah, but you're also probably lost in the sauce.
Yeah, but are you like a slave to yourself, you think?
I don't think there is a version of self anymore. I think self is gone. I think this is like this is as ego death as humanly possible. And you're no, I don't think there's a you anymore. I don't think Adam is thinking Adam thought. Adam might be thinking Adam thoughts, but it's a 1+1=3 kind of deal.
And yeah, like where does it, like where do my, because my brain is still there, right? It's in the hive mind, but like where do my actions stop and the hive minds take over?
Just the moment the electrical impulse occurs in your brain, perhaps, because you are now a processor in the a large human computer.
Sure. Yeah. Interesting. Sounds terrible. If I was not aware of it while I was in the hive mind, I think like it's hard to wrap my head around this.
Yeah, it's tough.
This it is, because like if Adam was aware of what was happening and I was in the hive mind, but I could still process what was happening as my own, I don't know if I would like it.
Right. You know? At some point, Carol is going to have competing feelings on this subject. There are going to be things that are better. No more war, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. World peace.
At truly world peace, which is brought up in the show.
Yes.
This show is going to be asking really interesting questions, which is just like, is all of this a bad thing? Are the aliens bad? Are the aliens malicious? Are the aliens just doing this cause? And then at the same time, like, is the version of humanity that we are now dealing with in this show, like, is it really a 100% bad thing? Like, where do you fall on the spectrum of how bad do you think this is? Personally, for me, Carol isn't mad enough and should be freaking out constantly. I would have killed, if you kill 11 million people every time you yell at them, add another 800 mil on with me in front of these fucks.
I would have been cussing them out.
And pushing them down mountains and shit. And then one of them would be like, what if it ever changes and we become an individual again? Which they wouldn't say. And then I would push that one down a mountain. Like, yeah, oh. Right.
And you're just like, until I scream enough and I'm the only man left on Earth.
Right. And by the way, that is also what this show is going to be asking questions of you about. It's like, okay, how does this extrapolate out to how we think about identity, how we think about free will, how we think about loneliness and belonging? And like this, what I'm really excited about is the questions that if you choose to, you can dig in individually about how this show is commentating on the human condition. While on the exact other side of that spectrum, you could also just be like, turn my brain off. Oh my God, what a very cool shot of this lady driving and people hanging from buildings and like not turning on, and just like it for the intricacy of the art of it all, rather than care. Like, I'm totally cool with someone being like, I don't give a shit about the idea of free will and how this show pertains to it. They keep doing cool things and there are explosions, and that lady, I like her a lot, and I like the characters. The guy who took Air Force One and is just like living it up. There are a lot of people, I'm sure, watching this show who are like, that's what I, yep, there it is. I would do.
I think I would for a day be like, I could do whatever I want. Give me Air Force One. Now, right. do you think that there is a contingency? So let's say Carol continues to get upset, causing the hive mind to kill, 11 million people, let's just say, every time. Do you think there's a point where she's done it enough where they're like, oh, activate destroy Carol protocol, and like it would, they'll flip and now they will become more violent because maybe she's destroying their objective?
Does the hive mind have self-preservation, or is it fine dying, is the exact question you're basically asking there. And yes, we don't know. And it's going to be interesting. If I had to guess, I don't think the hive mind gives a flying shit about self-preservation. I think they could get down to one person who knows everything and be like, yeah, we're still chill. Because and that goes back to the conversation we were having before, right? Like, if this malicious, or Is this just meant to breed complacency, in which case everyone dying is also fine? Like, that's the sort of the same as everyone being ostensibly nothing and everything at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, they were a little, I guess, ashamed that there were so many, people that were collateral damage for it. But they also weren't overly sympathetic about it. You know?
Yeah, but is that the collective human shame? Or is that, like, the alien is there a link enough back to the alien race who made this happen, who instilled that kind of thing? They're like, oopsies, sorry, our bad, didn't mean to kill 800 million. It works differently from planet to planet. On other planets, this has gone a lot better, where we don't kill anybody. But on this one, all of your weak little human stupid brains couldn't handle the dope, cool virus, Diet Coke virus that we gave you guys that you all drank like morons. Or the rat, I guess not so much as the rat was just like, slumber, slew, woo. Oh, I bite you, and then now everything's fucked. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I'm just like, I'm curious if there is an external mind affecting this, because they seem to know a lot about the process of how this works. Like, but no human knew the process of how this worked. Like, they just knew what they created to get it to work.
Yeah, I wonder what direction this show will eventually go.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's, like, gonna be a lot of questions.
I mean, there's every direction they could go. Is it just gonna end up being an overt version of, like, the true villain? It's not the aliens, it's within.
It's yourself.
It's us. It's you. Look in a
it's
mirror,
your neighbor.
You're the villain. Like, oh, shut up, Vince.
It could very well be that.
Either way, I'm just so excited to have a show that I'm looking forward to 100%. There aren't that many times these days where there is a must watch thing on television. I think this falls into that category, and I'm just pumped to have something like that. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. The only thing I don't like about it, although on demand doesn't really matter anymore, I don't like that it releases on Fridays, because I don't like watching shows on Fridays, but, yeah, I'm excited for a weekly release. I'm excited for, like, the crazy high production value, the really interesting storylines, unique telling. I mean, you mentioned Severance. You know, we're getting that next year, right? That's coming out next year?
No, that's probably beginning to mid 2027.
Jesus. Well, that is coming soon. I mean, and that is completely new, you know, stories and stylistic choices. And I just love that we're getting a very cool, like, blockbuster show again.
100%. And Rhea Sehorn is so good.
She's amazing in this. I love it.
I can't leave this first episode without just, like, showering her with praise. She's absolutely carrying the show on her back. And it's just good for her, man. Like, I'm rooting for her, weirdly.
I mean, she was amazing in Better Call Saul. You didn't watch Better Call Saul, did you?
No, I don't want to. But in this sort of maternal way, she's doing so well. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Anyway, thanks for joining us. You can join us here again next week to talk about episode 3 of The Plurbs. We just finished our Great British Bake Off recap and review podcast about the recent series. You can go and listen to that. As we said earlier, patreon.com/HBOBYZ. Earlier episodes, ad-free episodes. You can also find us on the internet in different places, and Adam's about to tell you that about right now.
Yes, you can find us at Threads, on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, interact with me over there. Threads is a cool community. Lots of interactions going on there for many different topics. So you can kind of doom scroll on that. I find myself doom scrolling quite a bit on Threads and it brings me into these holes that I never thought I'd ever be in, and I love it because I've
I have opened Threads twice in my life.
Oh, it's good, man. I like it a lot.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, I was scrolling the Netflix catalog today, and I came across the new Frankenstein movie with Oscar Isaac, dude.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Cool. I really want to.
It looks cool. I'm going to watch
Toro,
it.
Dude.
Yeah, dude. It looks cool as hell. So that could be another one-off thing that we do.
Ooh, double feature, Plurbs Frankenstein.
Double feature, dude.
You know who I do well, as we are about to leave you fine folks? You know who I hope we see again? Davis Taffler, the guy on, or like the president stand-in who she was talking to through the TV.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
That guy was so good. There are so many of those like moments that you could talk about. Like, we didn't even do scene breakdowns because of
no,
how
it's,
fucking...
it's just a lot.
No, the mine is so deep of like the philosophical and or utopian versus dystopian conversation that's the most interesting shit to me. But at the same time, like the part where a helicopter brings in a backhoe, like or the two kids being like, your key is under the potted plant, and it's her being like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like I said, this show's actually really, really funny. The first episode was like very almost like suspense horror-ish because of what was happening, but the second episode was much more grounded, much funnier, and I hope they keep on with that humor. I really like it. I like the dry humor. Some of the teaser trailers showed some of that dry humor, so yeah, I'm excited to see more. Very, 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 very happy with the show so far.
I like that stuff too, but I also want some creepy shit.
I want the creepy stuff too. I want the weird stuff.
Every now and again, I want it to feel like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And just throw that in, because the idea that you can feel like a horror movie one scene and have it be like laugh out loud funny the next in a show that also, if you want to, have it make you like think about your own vibes. I don't know, man. That's a show from all angles. And again, the golden years of TV aren't dead. Long live Plurbs.
Long live Plurbs, the psychological thriller. Thrill me with some psychological humor.
Next week, Plurbs 2, Electric Boogs.
Plurbs, Electric Burbs.
I will never call it Plurbus, not once.
No.
Bad name. What are you going to do?